This is a Collider.com audio interview.
A lot of fans, I want to focus a little bit on the ending of last season. A lot of fans know that the ending sort of came about because of the writer's strike and the way you guys resolved that. So would you talk a little bit about what went on in between the first season and the second season and what you were thinking about for the second season and, you know, the arcing of everything?
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of the stuff that, in a kind of macro sense, are things that we were still interested in. Nothing was precluded kind of in long-term goals by the strike. I mean, I think that, you know, I had a plan for, it was really only, I mean, I had a plan for 10 through 22, but 10 through 13 was all we, you know, had committed to us. So I had, we had a plan for those episodes. They were, you know, many ways dealing with the aftermath of the explosion. I mean, the explosion was going to be, it was always supposed to be a big deal, you know, I mean, it was what it was. I mean, the episode, it was always designed to be this episode. And it was just the way that it was going to play out was probably a little different. And then we had the way that we sort of revamped it during the off season. Part of it was just trying to take into account, okay, how are we going to bring in new viewers, or how are we going to reset things for people? You know, what I wanted to do for episode 10 last year, I couldn't do for episode 10. So I mean, I mean, this is in essence episode 10. You know, this would be the episode that was after last year, except I wasn't. Except this isn't what it would have been. The first, and I've actually. No one's asked me this since last night, so now I can say it, but I won't. I had a plan for a very radical episode for episode 10 that I was writing when the strike happened. And basically, the first 5 minutes of the show last night, of Cameron kind of crawling to save them, or she was walking in this case, I was going to do that for 45 minutes as episode 10.
Yeah, I was thinking that when I was watching it, I'm like, there's a lot of stuff here, there's a lot of ideas. What could be, you know.
Well, I had an idea for an episode, and it was called The Crawl, and it took a lot of convincing the studio and the network to do it. I'm still not sure they were ultimately committed to doing it, but they had at least agreed to let me write the script. And I was about to, and when the strike happened, we already had an outline for it. I was doing an episode that was essentially Cameron getting blown up, getting out of the car, and the 43 minutes of her getting from the car to upstairs in the attic. And that was all it was going to be. No dialogue. And
little avant-garde TV?
That's what we're going to do. Yeah. So, like, the first 5 minutes was sort of our scaled-down version of that. But so that was going to be what I was going to do last year for the 10th episode. I knew I couldn't do it to start the season. I mean, I knew that was just, we couldn't have a new viewers show up, kind of casual viewers show up to the premiere and watch, you know, a fucked up robot crawl for 43 minutes.
I think you might be right on that one.
I was also going to blow her legs off.
Okay.
That's what I was going to do, and have her crawl for 42 minutes.
You bring up an interesting point when you talked about the studio and the way it works. How is it as a creator, as a writer, to work with the studio? How is the process with that? Do you go to the studio and you outline what you want to do? How much freedom do you have in the writing process?
Well, I mean, we have a lot of freedom, and then again, we have a lot of freedom within reason. And I would say that people have been, both the studio and the network have been pretty good about letting me do some crazier things than a lot of shows. I mean, our show tries to do stuff that most normal network shows don't do. I mean, it's the process is sort of you have a general conversation about the season and kind of the dynamic of it, but then you go and you work on your episodes. And what we do is we present a one-page one-page treatment or kind of little outline, and we just call it a one-pager to the studio. They look at it, they read it, they give us comments on it. Then we do that to the network. They give us comments on it. Then we go back and we work on it. We do an outline, which is like a very detailed 10-page every act, every scene, every everything. Then we bring that back to the studio and to the network. They give us notes on those. Then we go back and write the script. Then we do that way. So, I mean, they have at least 6 bites of the apple in the process.
If you don't mind me asking, do you go to them with a bunch bunch of these outlines all at once, or do you go one at a time? How does that process actually work?
Once we get into the season, we go one at a time. I think at the start of the season, we gave them the first three. We gave them the first three one-pagers, and then we worked on those outlines kind of simultaneously because we were ahead, so we could send some, because we hadn't started shooting yet. But usually, you're kind of doing it one at a time. But, you know, you may be in a different part of the process with different things. Like, I might have a notes call with the studio today where we talk about the one-pager for number 13, the script for number 12, you know, the outline. I mean, like, we have different ones in different stages of the process. So we're giving them outlines and scripts and one-pagers. So we have long meetings. We're like, okay, let's talk about this for 10 and this for 12. And it's, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot of notes. And from what I gather, you know, it's a more onerous than it was 10 years ago or certainly 20 years ago. But, you know, they've been pretty good with us. I mean, there's only been one episode of that we got down the road with, that we got through an outline stage with, and at the outline stage they said, you know what, this is just too much for us, it's too crazy, and they threw it out completely. So it's only happened once, but that happens on shows a lot. You turn in a story and, you know, you think you have agreement and then they'll toss it.
Okay, so my next question is about premieres and finales and stuff like that. How is it with budget when it comes to a show? I think a lot of people are always curious. A lot of premieres are always a little more expensive, it seems. Little finales are a little more expensive.
Yeah.
How do you arc out the budget for the season? Do you realize, okay, we're going to do a little extra money here, a little extra money here? How does that work for, because, you know, for, I'm just curious how that works in the consideration of creativity.
Well, the premiere is a little different. I mean, the premiere usually, I mean, you know what your budget is, like, per episode going into the whole season. You know, it's X amount per episode. The premiere, it's generally understood that you're going to get a little extra. So that money usually does not kind of come out of that larger amortization. And so you may say, okay, you have another $200,000 for this episode or whatever it is. So you know ahead of time that you have that extra amount. Premiere, the finale, you know, everyone knows the finale needs to be a little bit bigger. They would rather they would encourage you to save that money throughout the middle of the season so that you have it for the end. And, you know, it varies from studio to studio as to whether or not they're willing. At the end of the day, if you've saved a little, they may give you some, or they may say, well, that's what you got, or you've got to live with it, or you just play some sort of game of chicken where you say, well, look, this is the finale. What are you going to do? And you put, you know, that you hope you're going to give you money. Excuse me one second.
So we were talking about the budget and over the arc of the show. So when it comes time for like a November sweeps, or is it February sweeps? Oh, I forget the other months that are sweep months.
Yeah.
Do you ever factor that in with budget and episodes?
Well, we do, and the network does as well. I mean, the network, we're actually in a conversation with them right now about, you know, how much more money we get from sweeps episodes. And, you know, I think the network wants to make sure those episodes are, you know, are really solid and have everything they need. So, you know, that's certainly, there's four episodes in sweeps for us, you know, trying to figure out what, you know, whether there's little additive things. Usually it's less about kind of the money and more saying, okay, guys, in the sweeps episodes, here's what we're doing in this episode. We want to do this thing. You know, it's a big deal. It sweeps, but, you know, we really could use an extra day of shooting to do that right. Well, that extra day of shooting is $175,000.
Exactly.
But it's what I found is, you know, if you come to them and say, here's the thing, it's a lot better just coming to someone. It's sort of like, you know, you don't go to your parents and say, I need $20. You go to your parents and say, you know, I need a new shirt.
Right.
You know, whatever it is. You know, they're like, we can have a conversation about whether you need a shirt. You know, we don't need to have a conversation about whether you need money. You know, and it's the same with the studio and the network. I mean, you have to, you know, I think it helps to show them that you're responsible, first of all, that you're not spending their money in a crazy way, and that you are trying to budget it out. But, you know, it's challenging. I mean, the stuff goes wrong. You know, I mean, it's just things take longer than you think. You hire a director, and you've never worked with that director before. That director is slow. And all of a sudden, you spend $50,000 in overtime, you know, during the week. Well, that wasn't money that was in your budget, you know, and that's not your fault, technically, but that's what that is. And so, you know, it's a it's a crazy, you know, it's a crazy process, you know. And there are, you know, almost every show is in the exact same position. There are a few shows that are on TV that have more money than they need. But I would say 95% of the shows could use more money, you know. But there are a few that actually, I think, are rolling in it.
I don't know if Lost could be one of those. I'm like, what?
Maybe.
So I'm curious, for this season, for the people who don't know, how many episodes were you picked up for when you came in? And so let's start with that.
13.
Okay, so did you think, did you arc out for 13, or did you arc out for the 22? I mean, how did you write the stuff?
I've arced out for 22. But, you know, you're always sort of, I mean, in terms of, like, as a football analogy, I mean, I always think of 13 as, like, around halftime. I mean, it's a little past halftime, but you always want something right at the end of, you know, before you go to the half. So it's your mid-season kind of break or whatever. So 13, we always try to arc both the 13 and the 22. You know, I think 13 always feels like there should be something significant should happen at 13. But then I always have thoughts about 22. And because we were cut short last year, I still had a few big kind of plot ideas that I just didn't get to. You know, that we're going to be 13 and we're going to be 22. And so I can kind of, I still have those, you know, they're still written up on our writer's board, you know. So it's like, I know that those are things that I can, we're still working towards. You know, I mean, the show is, in essence, even though I couldn't have told you, when I sold the show, I would say that I knew what five or six of the first episodes were. And we ended up shooting almost exactly those episodes. Now, they were different in a lot of facets. I didn't write them all, and they were, but if I would have pitched you the season, you know, or the first six episodes of the season 3 years ago, the first six episodes were, many of them were things, you know, that I had already thought about. Beyond that, I had big ideas, you know, not necessarily good ideas, but big ideas, you know, for, you know, kind of big signposts that I was working towards. And, you know, due to the strike, you know, we didn't get to them. So they're still there, you know, I mean, they're still, and we're, you know, we're working towards them. I mean, a lot of stuff in last night's episode sets up, you know, episode 22. I mean, there are things in last night's episode that pay off, hopefully, you know, at the end of the season. You know?
Now, you thinking about the show having, you know, actually, I want to backtrack. How did the writer's strike both, how did that, did that possibly help you? Because I've spoken to a few other showrunners, and they said it was the first time in their lives that they weren't writing, and that they were sort of just thinking. And then they came back with almost a fire inside and a lot to say. Was that the same for you, or different?
No, definitely. First of all, it wasn't the first time in my life I wasn't writing. Those guys are full of shit. I spent weeks and weeks not writing when I was a feature writer. I could spend months. I mean, you know, you could find me down at the Commerce Casino if you wanted to find me. I was there for a month playing Hold'em. You know, I wasn't writing then, and I didn't recharge anything. The writer's strike didn't really do anything for me.
Oh, yeah.
The writer's strike for me was just painful. It was a way, I mean, I spent time with my family, but I didn't actually think about the show. And I know it seems weird, because I was obsessed with, like, the show, and I would read everything online, and I would, you know, tracking the ratings and all that stuff during the strike, but I almost made a conscious decision in my head to not proactively think about ideas going forward for the show. And whenever I was on the picket lines with other writers on the show, we never talked about the creative aspects of the show. We just didn't do it. I just thought it was, like, mentally crossing the picket line, and I didn't want to do it. And I was, also, I was, I mean, now, it helped in this way. I was burnt out. I mean, I think I'd never done TV before, 9 episodes, and I really only did 8.5. Maybe we'd written 9. It was a lot of work. I'd never worked that hard in my life. So I think just in terms of coming back re-energized, I just came back having slept, which makes a big difference. You know, sleeping for 5 months is different than not sleeping for 5 months. And I definitely felt when we came back, we spent a few weeks in the room, you know, before we started production. It was a long time before we started production, but before we really even started writing. Just a few weeks in the room talking about last year and talking about. So we had a period of time after the strike ended where we really all got together, and I thought we had some great stuff came out of it. I mean, there was some really, really good, exciting things came out of it. So in the sense that people were rested, and I think they were recharged, I don't, you know, I always hesitate to say that anything good came out of the strike, you know, creatively, because it was just a painful thing, you know. But sleep was probably the best thing that came out of it.
I've heard that from other people, too. So for this season, without going into very specifics, what can fans look forward to as far as, you know, what's going to be happening with some of the characters or the situations, or what's the overarching, you know, stuff that fans should be looking forward to?
Well,
what do you want to talk about?
Well, I think that, you know, I hope that the first episode last night serves as kind of an emotional launching point for a lot of difficulties that the family will have. You know, I think that we saw in John, you know, a kid who, you know, some shit went down, and he's going to be responding to it in various ways in various episodes to come. And I think that you know, whether or not it was he or Sarah who killed, and I've heard people think either, obviously, either both, you know, killed Sarkissian, either version of it is a painful thing for John. Either he just killed somebody for the first time, or he just witnessed his mother do it for the first time. I think both are traumatic experiences, and I think that...
I'm going with John doing it.
You're going with John doing it?
Yeah.
Okay. We will find out.
Right.
I will say that. We will see what happened in the attic.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, it's 50-50.
Exactly.
Or 30-30-30. It depends on if you believe that they both could die. So,
that show...
But we will find out. I mean, it's definitely something, you know, we actually shot the events up there when we were shooting that episode.
Oh, yeah, for flashback purposes.
For flashback purposes. So we will find out what happened there. And, I think that it sort of spins him, you know, and her into a different place. And I think that that's one of the things I'm really interested in exploring from a character point of view. And I think also what went on with him and Cameron in the episode, whether or not you believe that she, you know, meant what she said when she said that she loved him is, I actually think the more important of the two things is just that she said that he loved her. And I think that's the thing that sort of, whether, you know, that struck a chord with him or not, I think that also affects the way his attitude towards her in the future episodes and towards this new character Riley and things like that. So I think that, you know, a lot of stuff was sort of set up character-wise, you know. And then in terms of the plot, well, you know, we have a T-1000 that now has a very important piece of computer tech, you know, equipment. And I'm totally excited by that. I don't know if maybe that's just because I love watching Shirley on do anything, but there's some great stuff coming up with her, and Ellison starts to get messed up with her, and that goes some weird ways.
Yeah.